What's up, everybody? Welcome back to 4D. Of course, we talk about our beloved Dallas Cowboys, the Doomsday Defense, because who doesn't love the old Doomsday Defense and the new Doomsday Defense? And of course, we talk about the draft because it's always draft season. Welcome back, Joseph. How you doing?
Doing all right. Just a wild and crazy day at work today. So, it was a stressful day. I almost had a panic attack, man. It's just one of those days where everything that could go wrong went wrong. So, yeah.
Been there. I know you. I know the feeling. I know the vibe, right? Like, I know the vibe. If you could see the screen right now, I'm like kind of dark. It's because I have all the lights off in the house. I'm trying to like stay as cool as possible because, of course, everybody knows how Texas is going. But anyway, we're here and we have a couple things to actually talk about that, you know, hit the old news cycle again this week. And the big one that everybody seems to have gotten kind of something stuck in their craw about are these top 10 lists, right,
man,
that are coming out.
People with some panties and bunches, man.
Now, before we get to the top 10 list, okay, if you haven't seen them, they'll post kind of like the ranking, right? And then they'll talk about where certain like front office personnel, GMs and stuff have ranked these people. Right. And what's kind of funny is as you see this, you know, I can't tell you how many times on social media you see somebody say, oh, you know, if you knew football, you'd be in a front office, or, you know, they try to discredit people who don't work actually in the league. And what's funny is you see these lists and somebody will be ranked 2 on something, and then it'll say like lowest ranking out of the top 10. Right. Like one person's grade was like 15th, you know, and you're like, really? Cause I'm pretty sure this guy is somewhere in the top 10, you know. It was Justin Jefferson is how I got there. Right. Cause that was one of the grades. I think they had him at like 2 or 3 or something, and it had somebody graded him out of the top 10 as a receiver. And it was just really funny to see. So like, I know people want to believe that everybody in the league or in a front office or on a scouting team knows exactly better than everybody else. But look, they're human. They have biases. They have certain things they look for, just like anybody else. You know, it's why, you know, everybody's all up in arms, especially about the Dak, Lamar, Kyler. You know, Dak makes top 10 lists. He's in 10th. I'm a little amazed at Watson being on the list, considering he didn't play last year, and his question this year of what's going to happen. I thought that was a little bit of a surprise, and I probably would have just taken him out due to that fact, and probably thrown somebody else in. Carr would be an option. Kyler would be an option, and Lamar was the third option, right? Like those three were the next guys in line. And, you know, people were really, really upset that Dak made it in over Lamar, and everybody's like, oh, Lamar has an MVP. And I'm like, look, Rich Gannon has an MVP. Like, we take a step back and let's look at this. And, you know, then the Trevon Diggs thing, and, you know, now we're seeing the wide receiver stuff, and, you know, they're going to keep pumping these out. I don't take a ton of stock in them, because we've seen these lists, like, or the top 100 lists before, where they'll rank. I mean, shoot, they had Baker Mayfield as like 50th once in the top 100 list, you know, and now everybody's like, oh, the guy's trash. So, you know, take a little bit of like just a grain of salt with what's being said. But how did your initial reaction come? My initial reaction was I looked at it, was like, no, okay. And I just kept going until everybody started making a big thing of it. What was your initial reaction on the top 10 list as they're starting to come out?
So my initial reaction to like the actual top 10 list is whatever. Like they don't hold any weight to me at all. And I will tell you the reason why is because it's all completely anonymous. And it's like, hey, yeah, we talked to all these coaches and executives. Really? Who? Like, who'd you talk to? Oh, this one NFC executive said this negative thing about this player. Really? You just an NFC executive somewhere. Like, it's just they could completely make it up, and people just are going to be like, "Well, it's ESPN. We got to believe them." No, you don't. It's ESPN. That's the reason why you don't have to believe them, in my opinion.
Right. Right. So, and like, I get the anonymous thing. Yeah, right. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If it's, you know, let's say it's Stephen Jones, right? Like, let's just take that as an example. Like, and you throw that name out there, now free agents are going to look at and be like, man, that guy can't judge character, like can't judge a player. Maybe it's, you know, an agent's like, oh, this guy, I can take this guy for more because he values this guy over this guy. Like, I get some of that, like anonymous thing.
I get why they keep it anonymous. You're 100% right. I get why, but it also leaves the door open. So you're just making up, you can just be making up shit. And
right.
You can't be called on it, because if somebody's like, well, I didn't say that. Well, I didn't claim it was you. I just said NFC executive. Like, that could be one of anybody or any 16 teams, you know, like, okay, like, so that's why it's kind of like meh to me. But I got involved in the discussion when people started talking about their own top 10. Oh, Dak shouldn't be in it, or Lamar should be in it. Lamar should be top five or whatever, you know. He won an MVP 3 years ago. So yeah, that's when I got involved. But like, for those lists and stuff like that, they're kind of like power rankings to me. Yeah, it's okay to look at them and just see where people have them, but they really mean nothing to me.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because if you ask me who my top five soccer players of all time are, right? Like, let's just take a different sport and a different thing. Okay, I may have a different list than you have. When I was, you know, born and raised, how much soccer I've actually watched, influence from parents, influence from where I've lived, and you know, there's a whole bunch of things on why my top five may not be the exact same top five you have.
Yeah.
Right. I played soccer, you know, maybe it's maybe I prefer a position versus, you know, somebody, something else, like, because I played that position. There's a whole bunch of reasons why. And, you know, it's so subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, people can't even agree who's the greatest of all time in any sport consistently. Yeah. Right. Like, even most people, there's a whole bunch of people, Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. But there is people who will say, well, wait a minute, you got LeBron as a player. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. What about Dr. J, who pretty much started this whole thing? Oh, wait a minute. What about Kareem? What about Magic? Wilt, and, you know, or my God, you know, if people want to use the championship thing, I mean,
Bill Russell,
right? Like, there's so many ways you can do this, and there's so many influences to it. So when you look at these lists, look, these lists change every year for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. Like, because they're basing it off of what they know from their past. Again, Lamar won something in 2019, right? He won an MVP in 2019. But was he that guy last year? Not really. No, now, could it be team? Yeah, sure. Some of that's team. Some of it might be, you know, the roster around him. But it's really funny to me how much weight people put into these lists. And look, I can disagree with them. I disagree with where they have Trevon Diggs, and I completely disagree with that.
Yeah.
But by the same token, my personal take is my personal take. And guess what? I could throw a top 10 list up myself.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing stopping me from doing that. So I think it's really weird. So when you look at the top 10 lists, you yourself, right? Was there one, though, that you were like, how in the world did they get here on this guy?
Well, I mean, you mentioned a good one with Trevon Diggs. Having him as the 10th best cornerback is questionable at best, in my opinion. Maybe there's quite a few executives that rely on PFF a little bit too much. I don't know, because they had a lot of that. You know, oh, he gets beat too much. He bites on double moves too much, which is a narrative that's been debunked repeatedly.
Well, they talked about what pass rush win rate or something. They talked about one of the PFF grades in the actual article of like how they determined it. And I thought that was so. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So not super big on that one. That would probably be my biggest one where I'm like, come on, man. Like the guy does something that hasn't been done in 40 years as a cornerback, and you have him as the 10th best. So I have a big gripe on that. And I've tried to stand up and talk, you know, defend Diggs a little bit on social media, but you're gonna have a ton of haters when you're talking about the Cowboys on social media. So it is what it is.
And that's the other thing. We know for a fact there are people who will intentionally grade a Cowboy lower just because they're a Cowboy. Like, we know that occurs. Just like people want to grade their own players higher. Like, look, if you ask me, Jalen Hurts is an absolute trash quarterback, right? Now some people could say that's because I'm a Cowboys fan. Okay, there might be some of that in there. I hope not. I really don't like the guy as a quarterback, but point being, you know, there's that rivalry thing, right? And so, you know, that, believe it or not, that occurs at every level. Like, absolutely, this is not a 100% subjective opinion. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are human. And girls are human. They're, you know, and the reason I'm by the way, just in case you missed the news, I mentioned girls because the Raiders did just hire a female CEO or manager recently as the first one. And so I want to make sure I address that properly. And, you know, we can't forget people like Amy Trask out there who've paved ways and stuff. Absolutely. So men and women, you know, because there's female coaches now and assistant coaches and things. So, but yeah, there's people up top that have these biases, right? You know, if you ask any Raiders person, you know, who do you hate the most? They're probably going to tell you the Chiefs, right? Yeah. Like, and they're going to be unabashed on how they feel about the Chiefs. My wife's a Chiefs fan. And guess what? The one team, the one player, and I cannot discuss in my house on any way, shape, or form is John Elway. And I hear my wife in the background throwing up in the hallway. Like, you cannot do it, right? It doesn't matter how great John Elway was or wasn't. Her looks at him and goes, garbage. Hate him. I don't like anything about him, right? Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. So take the top 10 lists, you know, kind of take them with a grain of salt. It's a slow news time, guys.
Very slow, yeah.
I mean, you know, we struggle every week. We're like, what are we going to talk about? Right? Like,
yeah, it's the middle of July. Like, I mean, camp hasn't started. We're a couple weeks away from camp. Once that gets started, we'll have more to talk about and there'll be more going on. But right now, man, we're at the tail end. And not only is it the slow news cycle time, but it's the tail end of it where they've already talked about all the nonsense they've had that first came up. And now they're like scraping the bottom of the barrel of a slow news cycle.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's like everybody's trying to be like, oh, this team's going to do X this year. But you don't know that. Training camp hasn't started. You know, like, we can all conject what we think it's going to look like, and we have, but the reality is half these guys haven't stepped foot on a field together yet. You know, like, you don't know what you're going to get. You could get success, you get failure, you get somewhere in between. It's just slow news cycle. But speaking of slow news cycles, we actually dip back into free agency. I'm half kidding here. You know, we signed a linebacker, I believe, was it USFL? Was he from or XFL? USFL, one of those
USFL, the Breakers. I apologize. I'm not super familiar with all of the USFL teams, but I think it was the Breakers.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, I believe.
I think Florida is the Bandits.
So I think he was. I don't know. Anyway, I just know we signed him from the USFL. Haven't really done a lot of research on him. I will. Just haven't yet. The bigger one, though, that I wanted to talk about was, guess what? Somebody we mentioned that the Cowboys could go back and grab. Lerum is back officially.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Back. So do the Cowboys now have kicking competition?
Well, I think they do. I think, well, I will say yes, they have a kicking competition because they have, they're going to have multiple kickers in the camp. However, I will say that the Cowboys are, it's going to be, what's his name?
Garibay.
There you go. Thank you. It's going to be Garibay's job to lose. They want Garibay to win the job. And so, yeah, so they want him to win the job. And then if he goes out there and Lirum just crazily outperforms him, you know, they'll obviously cut him and they might even look for another free agent kicker because we've seen what they've done. They've kind of used Lirum as a camp body practice kicker. I don't think they feel super confident with bringing him into a game to kick field goals. So he's a guy that's there to push Garibay to try to see, okay, what can we get out of you? And they're hoping that Garibay responds positively to it, and he just outright wins the competition.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, essentially they've used him as like the safety valve, right? Like the secondary plan, the backup plan. And I just heard a quote the other day that if you don't have a backup, you don't have a plan, right? So like, if you don't have a backup plan, you don't have a plan. And I thought that was kind of fitting in this avenue, right? Because they know who Lirum is. They know what Lirum's going to give them, right? But I think you're right that they want Garibay. I mean, they went and got Garibay. I think that they're, that's the hope. He's going to be cheaper of the two, probably. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if they don't have Garibay, they know what they have in Lirum.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, but I don't know. I think that the best path forward for them would be bring yet another kicker in now, right? Somebody with a little more chops, somebody who's been there and done that. Now, I'm not saying it has to be a guy you expect to be the starter, but bring in a guy who's been sitting a year because you're retired, right? Because what you want to do is you want to push these guys to be better, right? And right now you have a rookie and a guy who's really not kicked a lot in a what? How many kicks do you have? A handful maybe in a pro setting, right? An NFL pro setting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, bring somebody in that at least, you know, heck, maybe even give him some knowledge. But I think there is a competition, and I think you're right. It's Garibay's to lose in their eyes, right? Definitely. In their eyes, it's Garibay's to lose. But we still have some questions out there. I mean, you know, you got the long snapper stuff. You got who's going to hold. You know, you got who's the punter. I mean, special teams, there's some questions. You know, you've lost your special teams ace. We're just touching on the kicker here.
It's a frustrating situation because you want to go in, you want to be confident in your kicker. We all didn't have the confidence in Zuerlein last year. And he didn't, you know, he made the kicks when it counted, but he also missed a ton when in the middle of the game where, you know, it would have made those situations not even, there would be no reason to be in those situations where he had to kick a game winner, a game tying field goal. So we want that confidence that we have, like we had with Dan Bailey for all those years when he was the best kicker in the NFL, and just know like, oh, I can go get snacks or go get a beer. They're bringing in Bailey. Okay, I'm going to do a restroom break right now because you just knew that the kick was going in. You kind of want that back, but that's a hard thing to get for someone to get a guy as accurate as Bailey, because when Bailey was on, he was better than Justin Tucker. And if you don't believe me, just go look at the stats, because in his prime in those years, he was ahead of Justin Tucker as the most accurate kicker. But the back injuries kind of derailed his career. So you want that. Hopefully Garibay can can be a solid kicker and he can go out and win the competition outright. That's what I want too. Because like you said, we know what Lyram is, you know, he's the guy. If Lyram was the guy, he'd be on an NFL roster right now.
Well, and they probably wouldn't have gone and grabbed Garibay, or they may have, but they probably would have grabbed somebody else and just said, hey, come in for a camp leg.
Exactly. So we want Garibay to show up, be that guy, have a good camp, strong preseason. And hopefully he can be our kicker for the future and we can solidify that position a little bit more.
And it's so funny because how many people are like, oh, kickers, man, you don't realize how often a kicker decides a game.
Yes. Right. All the time.
All the time. Right. A missed extra point in the third quarter. And then you end up losing by, you know, two at the end or one or whatever, or you had to go for a touchdown versus a field goal, right? Because of that mixed extra point.
You missed an extra point and now you're down by 4 points with the ball with the minute left. And it's no longer, hey, a field goal to tie. You got to go score and win the game. Right. You don't have that option anymore.
And then of course, you know, they'll go and blame, you know, this wide receiver for dropping the ball or this running back for going out of bounds or whatever, right? Like whatever the scenario is, they'll blame that. But yet in reality, if that kicker didn't miss that, you wouldn't be in that situation. You know, how many times did we see missed extra points come back to bite us later that we were like, had they made this, the entire complexion of the game would have changed. The entire direction.
Thanksgiving. Right? Went to overtime. Missed field goal and a missed extra point.
Yep. It would have been over. It would have been completely done. Even if you just made the extra point, you probably would have. It's just ridiculous. I hate not having a kicker that you can rely on. And look, I'm not saying if it's, you know, fourth and one from the 25, you need to kick a field goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is there is times that you have to trust your kicker and that kicker has to make a kick.
Especially on extra points.
Especially on extra points, right? Because you missed two. Guess what? You could put yourself down just enough to be out of reach with one score.
Yep.
Absolutely. Right? A touchdown or being forced to have to make a 2-point conversion. Like these things happen. And I don't know. I don't know if Garibay is the guy because we haven't seen him yet, but I'm hoping.
Yeah. So am I.
You know? So we talk about, you know, We started off the silly top 10 lists and, you know, talked about that. We talked about free agency. I'm doing air quotes since you can't see me. Free agency acquisitions. So speaking of free agency acquisitions, kind of wanted to ask you a fun question. Okay. Let's say you have enough money right now to sign one free agent. One. Okay. I'm not going to ask for the player that you would sign. What I'm asking for is if you could only sign one player, which position group do you think it needs to be signed to?
I've kind of gone back and forth on this question since I saw it on the message that you sent before we got on here. And my initial reaction kind of was defensive tackle. But I'm actually leaning towards wide receiver. And the reason why is however long Michael Gallup is out. Once Michael Gallup gets back and if he's healthy and he's back to normal and he's playing at his full strength, I'm fine with CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Jalen Tolbert. That's a good wide receiving core. But right now, without Gallup, with CeeDee Lamb, a rookie Jalen Tolbert, jumping up from South Alabama to the NFL, and then
Noah Brown. Yeah, like, Noah Brown or James Washington.
Hoko?
And look, like, we're not even sure Tolbert is going to be your two. Noah Brown couldn't conceive, like, people forget that dude. That dude can be your two for a game or two. That's the intent of him. That's really what Noah Brown's here for. He is here because he can be your one or your two in a pinch if all goes south. That's why Noah Brown's here. You're not asking him to play a ton of snaps. That's not what you want him to do. But you want your number one goes down and you got to move your number two to be your number one. Well, guess what? Noah Brown can give you snaps, decent quality snaps as a backup. That's all you really want, right? So people forget Noah Brown, but he's sitting there like, guys, I've been here all this time. Like, I keep coming back. You forget about me. So it could be Tolbert. It could be Brown. Washington, you know, Lamb, Simi. I get it. Wide receivers is
scares me.
It is a solid option, right? You know, and it's funny because I actually wasn't thinking wide receiver at all. Like, and I still think you need one, but I think if it's only a two game thing, you might be able to mishmash it up and get two games out of these guys.
Here's what I'm scared about, Dan, is I'm not sure Gallup's back until Halloween.
I don't know.
So if it's two games, then okay, I can live with that. If it's Halloween, I'm freaking out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. This is where you have to trust what they know in the front office information-wise, mm-hmm. because nobody outside of that team is going to, and probably even only a select few on that team, are going to know what his medical status actually is.
Why he waited till February to have surgery. Tony, you got injured in December. Like, dude, get your surgery so you can get back as soon as possible.
We also don't know what the doctor came back and said, how serious it was.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they tried some kind of rehab prior. Who knows, right? Like, there's stuff that they keep hidden because they don't want other teams to know somebody has an injured arm or, you know, whatever. They still want to know it in the off season, and they don't want you to know it in the regular season. They have to. That's why you see things like ankle injury. And you're like, oh, okay, dude has an ankle injury. Well, what type of ankle injury does he have? Right? Like knee. Okay. He has a knee injury. Which knee? When, you know, like a lot of times we can tell, but like they keep, Bill Belichick is famous for that.
Oh, yeah. But at least it's not as bad as hockey and upper body injury, lower body injury. Well, what part of the lower body?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because even those are like kind of stretched, right?
Yeah.
They'll be like, lower body injury, and you're like, nah, I saw that dude snap his back in half. Like, you know, like, really? And they're like, he's questionable, you know, and you're like, really? Really? Okay. Your leg did a 360 on your hip, but that's cool. All right, cool.
And the thing is, he's a hockey player, so he is probably questionable.
That's probably true, dude. Those guys are ridiculous. But yeah, you know, that's, I think, as we are looking at position groupings, like wide receiver definitely is one, but that wasn't really my personal thought process, right? Mm-hmm. So the two I kept going back with, and look, defensive tackle, everybody knows how I feel about it, but it really wasn't one of the top two that I was like, you got a guy. I fought between offensive line, right? Center specifically.
Yeah.
And I went to defensive end.
Okay.
And the reason I went those two rounds is because one, and look, I'll give you my answer in a second, right? So one, center. Look, we know they're trying to move guys that, you know, beyond just Biotis, they're trying to move, you know, McGovern over, and they're trying to do all these things. And, you know, they're going after this unsigned rookies. And look, I want a smart, solid center, because that's where the entire play starts. The entire play, the blocking scheme, it all starts with that guy.
Yep.
I need better from that guy. And so I thought center for sure. I was like, man, that'd be the right one. But then I was like, defensive end. And the reason I kind of went there was like, look, we've talked about it. They have Tank and then they have Parsons. And if linebacker depth is a question, which it currently is, because I did consider that too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, your number four guy right now is Bernard, unless you want to count one of the rookies, right? So I could
Bernard, because Bernard's not here anymore. It's Gifford.
Gifford.
Yeah.
Gifford, right? So, like, if it's Gifford's your number four, unless you want to count a rookie, I'm going to say Gifford because he has veteran experience until proven otherwise. Right. But so I thought about that. But if you want to be able to have Micah be the chess piece you want him to be, give more help to the defensive end position, and that way you're not forced, hopefully, to move him to edge more to create a consistent pass rush. If that's your goal, right? So think about it. You have Fowler, Armstrong. You know, you kind of got Sam, but Sam's an unproven guy. Fowler had one good season. Armstrong did less than Gregory with more snaps last year, right? Like, and we know the pass rush just hasn't quite been there over a couple seasons, really truly been there. Flashes off and on, but like really been consistent. I would probably add extra to that position, hoping that him and Tank can now create enough pass rush. You've had Neville Gallimore adding size. You've had you have Hill adding size. You have some guys doing some things, hopefully in the middle. Osa looks huge, right? If you can get that defensive line, it should help the depth of your linebackers. And that's kind of why my decision was defensive edge. Because, look, y'all know how I feel about off-the-ball linebackers, but the fact of the matter is the Cowboys are using their linebackers as their playmakers. Agree or disagree, they're using them as essentially as the stars of the team. That's kind of their thing, right? Like, and I'm not the only one thinking this. Mm-hmm. If you look at the projection for the Cowboys next draft, they're already talking linebacker.
Another linebacker. Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah,
like, they're already talking linebacker. Everybody wants, you know, Barr to come in, right? Like, everybody's talking linebacker. And I get it. But I think if that's the way the Cowboys want to go, you cannot box your linebackers in to having to do something because you can't generate a pass rush.
Yeah.
Therefore, defensive end is the way I went.
It's a good one.
Right? And it's not a common thought, right? You would think defensive tackle, maybe even linebacker, offensive line, wide receiver. But I was just like, man, if you're trying to loosen everything else up, what one position can I get that's going to loosen the most up? And I kind of came with defensive end.
You know, man, so we just had this question on bringing in a free agent, mm-hmm. and what position would we think we would do? And we just named five different positions where you could make a solid argument we need somebody to be brought in for.
Now, look,
and that there's some people out there, not going to name names, there's some people out there saying we don't have any needs right now.
Yeah, I look. Here, and this is that slow news cycle, right? Again, we don't know what any of these guys are going to look like. Yeah. It's all projection. It's all conjecture off of tape and college opponents. And look, again, we've talked about it. Some of these guys are going to be, you know, off working office jobs this year that they played against, right? Like, there is a huge difference from lining up across a college kid and lining up against Aaron Donald, right? Like, or even Tank Lawrence. Or like, there is a massive difference from the quality of play you see between even the lowest level pro to some of the highest level college kids. There's some, right? Like, you don't realize how good pros actually are, even the worst guys in all sports. Like, look, they made it to the pros. They got something, right? They got a little something to their game. So, you know, we're not saying that if these guys don't pan out, they don't have something, because that's what people who are saying we don't have needs is doing. They are saying Jalen Tolbert will 100% work out the way we think he's going to, right? They're saying Dante Fowler had a great season with the Rams. He's coming here with Dan Quinn. He's going to be able to do it. You know, and I'm not saying they're wrong, because the truth is we don't know.
Yeah.
It's just two different ways of viewing it. The fact that I don't know means I can't fully trust it to happen. That's my take on it. If I don't know if I've never seen you line up in a pro setup, I can't tell you how you're going to be as a pro. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I could watch you 100 times and still not tell you what you're going to be as a pro.
Yeah.
So a lot of people take a more cautious approach to that. I don't know. I think you have to. And I think it's silly to say your team doesn't need anything.
Yeah.
Every team needs something.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Any team can improve. And
right.
As much as we hate them for saying it because they don't truly believe it, but as Stephen Jones says, it is a 365 acquisition. Like, mm-hmm. 365 days a year, it's acquisition. You're constantly looking for people to steal off the practice squad, people who...
The moniker's spot on.
It's just that it's kind of a joke that Stephen Jones says it. Because then
there's all these options where you're like, you have the choice and you decide not to take it. So, yeah. The one thing you can never deny with Stephen and Jerry Jones up at the front office, though, is that they are not eternal optimists with their roster. They will always tell you, and they have told us, outside of the 1-15 year that Jerry specifically said, like, he knew that was, like, when he first bought the team, he knew what was going to happen the first year or two. He kind of knew it.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, every year since, you know, it's been, well, we got the guys, you know, like, this will be our year. This is the best team we've ever fielded, whatever they say, you know, and I'm sure they in behind closed doors are like, man, we got to fix X position. Like, have you seen this dude? You know, I'm sure they do that. But I really do think they also believe that the guys they grabbed are better than the guys another team grabbed.
Yeah.
Or they just say, hey, listen, we're going to use the excuse that really we just couldn't afford the person. And some of that might be true. There's guys I'm sure they did not think they could afford or afford within the way they want to set their salary cap.
I can just imagine Stephen Jones checking the bank account like 5 times a day, making sure he still has $21 million in cap space.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's good.
Yep.
Slide that in a couple hours. Let me double check to make sure.
Slide the ATM card in. You know, at 2 o'clock, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to hit the bank at 2 a.m.
Right.
In the old days. Goodness, when I asked this question, I wasn't trying to get a whole bunch of, like, we need all these spaces, like all these slots. I was really just trying to see where your thought process was. But what's funny is after I said it, I was like, man, and I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, this is a harder question than it seemed.
Yeah.
You know, and it opened it up to what we have. And it, look, again, we could be dead wrong about Fowler and Armstrong. And I mean, they could be lights out. Who knows? Until it happens, though, you just have to take it on what's on paper.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. And that's how you have to look at it for now. So all that said, we were just talking about, you know, players and competition and not taking snaps in the pros yet. And let's have a little draft fun to wrap this up.
There we go.
All right. So TFF just recently put out their list of top quarterbacks for the 2022 college season. I'll go over just the top, like, just handful. I'm not going to go through the entire list. You know, mm-hmm. You have Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler, CJ Stroud, Sam Hartman as your top five. Okay. And the reason I go top five is because I think that's a pretty unanimous top five. After that, it kind of starts getting to like a McCall. I mean, there's a Tagovailoa out there. There's Quinn Ewers from Texas. Like, how is that going to look? There's some stuff. Which quarterback, give me two quarterbacks you are really excited to watch this year.
Man, cutting down to two, because there's actually quite a few. I actually think this is a much stronger class than last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's quite a few quarterbacks that I'm really looking forward to watching. You name the top ones. How about this? I will not say Caleb Williams just because I don't want to be Homer and talk about, and, you know,
Wait. I'm going to call you out here. If you name the Pitt quarterback, we're going to have words.
Okay. I wasn't going to name the Pitt. I was going to bring him up before you named the two, but I won't name him either. I won't name the new Pitt quarterback
either. So. Keaton Slovis.
Keaton Slovis, yes. Yeah. Keaton Slovis. I do like him a lot. So, but I won't name him either.
Well, I wonder why, right? Like, he transferred. For those who don't know, he transferred from USC. So correct. I'm kind of cracking here that Slovis was a USC player after he had just said, I'm not going to say Caleb Williams. So I wanted to call it out real quick. Sorry, go ahead.
I will go with the first one is Grayson McCall.
Yeah, he's a good one. I almost had him on mine.
I like him a lot. He's going to be one that I keep my eye on just because, you know, you got a good school. You got a smaller school in Coastal Carolina who actually is a lot better than most people even realize. We've talked about them before on the draft show. On this show, was it last year or the year before? They had a really good team, and they had a really good defense. And we mentioned quite a few defensive players. And the other one I'm going to name is Tanner McKee out of Stanford. He is a guy who big prototypical quarterback, but he can run. He's got some legs, and he's got a good arm, good arm strength, good accuracy. If Stanford is going to try to make a bounce back and contend in the Pac-12 this year, it's going to be on his shoulders. And so I really like Tanner McKee as well.
Nice. That, you know what? Like, I like McKee. I almost put him in my top two. I thought about it, but then I was like, man, he's too easy, right? Like, he's a little too easy to put him up there. But then I was like, man, I don't know. So I let him go hoping you would grab him. So I'm glad you did. So I have two that are a little further down the line on this, right?
Okay.
So the first guy I wanted to talk about, Devin Leary, NC State.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I don't know who noticed last year, but he threw for at least 35 touchdowns and five or fewer interceptions, making him the first quarterback in ACC history to do that. Think about that. Only four quarterbacks over the past decade hit that mark.
Jeez.
See what I'm saying?
Highly rated quarterbacks in the recent years that have come over out of the ACC.
Yes. Yes. Now look, he needs some work. Okay. He's going to need some work. Part of the problem is he's been on a fairly meh NC State team.
Yeah.
Right. And the way that they kind of run their offense is a little, I don't know. I'm not a fan. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, but look, the guy is at safety with the ball, but he's not necessarily one of the, let me check it down type guys, because he's got an arm on him.
Yeah.
He's absolutely going to need probably some footwork help. He does well. I watched a little bit last year. One of the things he does really well is kind of stand in the pocket, right? Like, he has the active feet. He's in the pocket, and he is just like, that's his pocket. On some of his movement, I'd love to see a little more conservative movement on his footwork, right? So, I think he's going to need some technique stuff, but man, I really like Devin Leary at NC State. And then the other one, and look, nobody ever talks about this team, Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue.
Okay.
Like, this dude, I'm kind of surprised nobody's talking about him in a way, right? But it's Purdue. Like, who talks about Purdue? But I think he's going to be a very he's going to turn a lot of heads this year. Okay. He threw over 355 yards a game in all 12 appearances last season. Average over 355 in every for the entire season. That's phenomenal, right? Absolutely phenomenal. And you look, you're at Purdue. You're playing the big boys, right, on defense. You're playing big boy defense. And this guy, without a lot of weapons, without a lot of anything, is quietly putting up yards. He has a lot of technique work to work through, right? He has a lot of some, he has some read issues he's got to have, but I think arm talent and what he is seeing, how he is seeing it, I think is there. And I think this year, if he were on a better team, we might be talking about him as one of the top five quarterbacks. I think by the end of the year, he will easily be one of the top 10 quarterbacks for this season. Easily.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at him a little bit more. Yeah.
I watched him last year. I'm an Ohio State fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I watch the Big Ten like a hawk. I tend to let love me, that, you know, central region.
Let me name one more. Mm-hmm. Michael Pratt out of Tulane. I mentioned him a couple times last year.
You have.
He is a guy who he had a rough year last year, but he shows flashes. And he is a guy who went in week one last year. Week one went on the national stage and completely outperformed the projected at the time projected future number one pick in the draft, Spencer Rattler. Now, we all know that Spencer Rattler had a really bad year, got benched partway through the season and had to transfer out of Oklahoma. But he went on that stage and they lost the Tulane, lost the game, but like he outperformed Rattler like big time. And I've never seen, and you were mentioning this about your guy, Dan, but I've never seen a quarterback with the moxie that he has to be able to make plays with his feet and with his arm more so that his teammates just let him down. Like, yeah. I've seen this guy break tackles, break sacks, just running around, just launch the ball, beautiful pass, nails the receiver right in the numbers, and it's a drop. Like, the guy has something, and it's like, man, if he was on a better team, he had a guy, he had some receivers who could actually catch the ball or running or line that could block for him. I'm interested to see what this kid could do. So hopefully this year, you know, that the team around him improves a little bit. He improves a little bit. He doesn't put up unbelievable numbers. Like, you know, he only had like 2,400 yards last year and 21 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But it's honestly mostly because his teammates failed. They let him down constantly. Like, this kid makes plays just to end up it being nothing. So that's, I really like his talent as well.
What's really funny is a lot of the guys we named are the guys that, like, if it's these guys, but these types of guys, it's funny that we named it because when we start doing the draft, you start hearing names creep up the board, and you hear these quarterback names. You know, at the start of the draft process, this guy was like the 8th rated quarterback in the class, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you get the Senior Bowl and you have the combine and, you know, a couple practices work up, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we have, you know, Billy Bob, you know, Rosencrantz, you know, as your third quarterback now. And you're like, where did this guy play out of, you know? And they're exactly. Like, oh, he played at, you know, East Boulder City University. And you're like, what the hell? And I'm exaggerating, but that's how these things happen, is because some of these guys do have what NFL, you know, scouts are looking at, right? The arm, the moxie, the ability to read a defense, see the field, how they're making progressions, their footwork. Like, they look at these things, and they not only look at them in game, but they also look at them out of the box, right? A standalone entity, regardless of anything else. Does he have it? Look, I'm not going to worry that his left tackle got him absolutely killed because that guy can't block. everything up to the point he's hit, what did he do?
Yep.
Did he start making those reads? Was his footwork right? Did he not see the guy at all? Did he feel him? Did he hear him? Did, like, give me even the bad plays. And that's how some of these guys move up. Oh, this guy can all of a sudden make these passes. Well, yeah, he can make these passes when, you know, Jalen Waddle's catching them, yeah. You know, and instead of, you know, Daniel Rupert, you know, the 35-year-old, you know, it's just, I'm not 35, I'm way older than that, but, you know, like, you know, going back to college, dude, who's, you know,
yeah, like,
it's a thing.
He goes to the Senior Bowl and you're like, wow, you know, that's an amazing throw and catch, but it's really, he made those throws in college. It's just that the receivers weren't there or couldn't catch the ball, you know? Yeah. So,
and it's funny that we both listed quarterbacks who were in that kind of like, hey, listen, unless the team does really well, probably not going to hear his name in the Heisman conversation.
Yeah.
But you probably will hear that name as the draft cycle picks up and you start seeing it. These are names to watch. You know, one of these guys could be third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, top five quarterback coming in, you know, for their class. So
you
just pay attention to them, hear the names, you know, but like, these are those guys coming from those, you know, schools that just can't, you know, the Kansas quarterback, and you're like, yeah, Kansas can't play football, ha, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, then they realize, oh, wait, the guy has the talent. He was just not surrounded by any.
Yeah,
let's take a look at him closer. So it happens. But yeah, it's just, it was funny that, you know, that's how both of us went. You know, yeah, you could name the top five. And you know, you mentioned number six, I think, or seven, somewhere in there. Yeah. But like
six, yeah.
But like the next two guys you listed weren't there. The two guys I listed weren't there. You know, like it's just funny how we did that, because I think everybody knows, usually those top 10 starting the year, everybody kind of knows who they are, at least a general idea. And then after that, it's kind of this big crapshoot. And so it's funny that both of us went into the crapshoot and said,
eh. Oh, yeah. It's always more fun when you're like, okay, who are these quarterbacks that people aren't looking at? You know, like, hey, that you should be looking at, you know? Because this guy can actually do something, and you might be seeing him on a Sunday in the future.
Now, I will say, Pro Football Network actually put Devin Leary as their number four.
Oh.
And that came out earlier today.
Dalton?
No. Corey was Corey.
Okay.
But it came out, and, you know, and what's funny is I kind of seen – like I'd kind of seen him last year and I was like, oh, that guy's, he's not bad, you know? And then I kind of forgot about him for a while. And then somebody was talking about college quarterbacks. I was like, the name kind of flashed in my head. And then it wasn't until I saw the PFF list and I was like, oh, you know what? That dude, I remember now. And then I saw that article come out like at 3:30 and I was like, huh, all right, I'm good. You know, like, all right, I'm in. But
there you go.
Like, it was definitely a name I remembered from last year, because I remember that ACC bit when I reread it, I was like, oh yes, right. Like that's a pretty big deal in the ACC. Cause you had some decent quarterbacks come out of there.
Oh yeah. Just, I mean, the last few years, I mean, 2017, you had Watson come out, and then last year you had Lawrence. Come out, and then those are two of the biggest names for quarterbacks in college football recently, you know. Yep.
And this guy's already done something they didn't do in college. So
yeah, impressive.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We'll see how he does. He's a big dude too, man. Like you go look at his picture, you're like, oh, okay. That's a big dude for a quarterback. But yeah, I wanted to kind of bring that up. You know, maybe we'll look at a different position group next week or something.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. But hopefully you stay cool out there. I hope everybody's staying cool, because
it's a lot cooler out here than it is for you.
Yeah,
it's like in the 90s here, so still hot, but not like hot like you guys. Yeah,
we've had, I don't even know how many days straight now of over 100 degree weather, and it's just,
yeah,
now, you know, of course the energy company's like, don't turn anything on during the day or you'll get blackouts, and I'm like, great, I'm gonna die in my house, you know. But hey, we're surviving, and you know, keep hoping that 2 weeks from now we'll actually have some football news, on-field football news. So
absolutely, I cannot wait to get out there. I cannot wait to get out there.
We're what? I think exactly 2 weeks away. Is that the date?
Is it? Yeah, I think
27th, I think is the date.
27th is the date, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 weeks away. Thank God, because we need football.
Absolutely.
We need football because there is some crazy talk happening on social media that we just need to get back to football.
Mm-hmm. Just make everything right again.
People acting fools, I'm telling you. So, all right, guys. Well, that is our show for this week. Joseph, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TheJAMassey.
Perfect. And, of course, you can find me at Dan underscore Rupert, R-U-P-P-E-R-T. And, of course, you can find me on Fansided at SportDFW. This week I did run defense, actually, talking about the one techniques and do they have enough to stop it. So, yeah, we'll catch you guys next week. And Joseph, got anything to say?
No, just stay safe out there. Ask for help if you're struggling. Keep your mentals in line. My DMs are always open. I know Dan's DMs are open. So
yep.
If you have any issues, just reach out.
Talk to someone today about it, actually.
Yep.
So, all right, guys. Well, we'll catch you on the flip. Peace.